Johnny, do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
It's time for Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me is Mr. Matt Donnelly.
And on the knobs and dials is Jacob the Audio Guy.
Woohoo!
We're preaching fun, and here in the churn, back for, is this only your second time?
This is my second time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Since episode 5, right?
Like from the very beginning.
Early.
Yeah, really beginning.
Eric Dittleman is here.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
You've grown.
You've come a long way from that back room of a theater or wherever.
Yeah.
Can you believe?
Who thought that means it was really early.
Yeah.
We only did like four or five shows in that.
Yeah, the Art Square Theater.
Yep.
Yeah.
That little green room.
Yeah.
It's weird that you still drove me to a theater and brought me back there just to get to the studio tonight.
Yeah, you didn't like that?
Yeah.
I was trying to give you like a little retrospective. I was doing what like real estate agents do, you know? I was going to take you like a real shithole, and then I was going to take you here so you'd reach for it.
Yeah.
You know, you really make sure that you weren't going back to the other place.
And we don't have as many homeless people knocking on the door.
Yeah.
As we did in the other place.
Not none, but not as many.
Just less.
Yeah, just less.
Fewer. Since we last saw you, you bruised your arm up.
Yeah, I bruised my arm. I'm in Vegas for the tail end of a bachelor party that just finished, which also explains why my voice is a little chalky.
A little chalky.
That's the word scratchy. That's
scratchy is another one. Another word for it.
But we played a little archery tag.
What is archery tag?
Archery tag is like dodgeball with bows and arrows. As best
that sounds really painful.
Yeah, they're padded, so it's not like the tip of a pointed arrow, but it's like you knock the arrows and you just fire, and if you get hit, you're eliminated. And
okay, because I remember people took me to paintball and everyone being really excited about it, and then it just hurt, and I hated it.
Sure, and these didn't hurt unless it was like point blank range, but it was different than I was expecting because I was expecting like, you know, 3-2-1, both sides are just charging towards each other, and then you're expecting, like, rapid fire right away.
Yeah.
But there's a weird delay because everyone has to stop, grab the arrow, knock the arrow, pull back the string. So it's a very weird rhythm.
Yeah, that is a weird rhythm.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like, I gotta get this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you're bing.
Is there a strategy to hanging back and just shooting from a great distance?
That's my strategy because I am a chubby guy. Yeah. So I just set a post in the back.
Did it pay off?
That is a strategy.
Well, I have pretty good aim, actually. That's like one of the few sports I'm decent at, it seems.
Okay.
So it helped when I was in New York back home.
The other one was water polo, right?
interpretive dance. Is what I like to go for. But
yeah.
But I had, weirdly enough, just like a month or two ago, gone to my first like archery range in New York City to do the lessons so that every time I come back to that same company, you could just rent the range time without anyone instructing you anymore.
It's like a
therapeutic thing. So I already had a little practice before going to this archery tag
thing. Oh my gosh, it was rigged.
So I was just sniping people.
Nice.
It was great.
You must have taken people by surprise.
Yeah, no one expected me.
No one saw Dittleman coming.
Zip. Yeah.
Gentlemen, they yelled from the archery course. It's not on air yet, but we just interviewed Matt Franco over at Penn Sunday School.
Yes.
And he basically said that he only had like one magic friend, and it was you.
Really? Did he say that? No? That's cool.
Like, he said coming
up. I don't know if that's
true. Not true anymore.
Yeah.
since he's established himself, or whatever. But basically, like, it was fascinating to kind of get into his background, and like, before America's Got Talent, he really was just your typical magic nerd and not your networked magic nerd. Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
Like most kind of magicians come up with their, you know, magic clubs or they have their mentors and their teachers. Mm-hmm. And he was going strictly off of books and DVDs and VHS and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I was very similar actually growing up. I didn't know about like local magic clubs until I got to like college.
Dittleman's a touring mentalist.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I travel around to a lot of colleges and corporate stuff. But I started just reading magic books and learning sleight of hand and everything, going to the local magic shop, buying some stuff. I didn't know there was like a community where you could like learn from other people. So I really kind of was self-taught and stuck to my own, and it wasn't until college I was, like, found these other groups and then actively sought out some of the people I was reading their material just to meet them and network.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it kind of just led. That's when I also switched more over into the mentalism exclusively, no magic, and just kind of tried to...
Did you used to do magic?
Just sleight of hand at parties and, like, yeah, as a hobby forever. You know,
we used to do a card trick for people if they demanded.
Exactly,
it.
Yeah. I'd be that kid that, you know, would take out a deck of cards even when not asked.
Oh, yeah. But
I'm positive that he did sleight of hand stuff because earlier he came over here, he picked up one of our poker chips, and I watched him put it in his hand to see how he could palm it.
I wasn't to palm.
I absolutely watched him do that.
But I just wanted to see how big the poker chip was.
Whatever, and then he shot Jacob with an archery thing.
Yeah,
didn't see it coming. I was gonna say, I guess part of not having a magic club or mentors means you don't get taught how to be a dick. I guess because like you and Franco are like the most nicest people in the world.
Well, that's nice to say. Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's when he was like, "Oh yeah, just gentlemen." I was like, "Oh, that's funny because you both like are just like sweethearts."
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I try to just be nice and be myself and.
Like, you talked about 3 magic shows on the car ride over here from where mm-hmm. we went to.
Yeah.
Including the one you just saw.
Uh-huh.
And you said nothing critical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that no magician does that.
I also...
No magician I've ever met can talk about 3 magic shows and not say something scathing about one of them.
Do you have critical things that you think about them and you just don't say them?
Yeah, are you like,
are you polite
nice,
or are you genuinely nice?
I always try to find the good in things, but I also... You don't know who's friends with who in
this
town.
That's why I don't talk shit.
No. I always try to learn something from every show, yeah, whether it's what they're doing right or what they're doing wrong, and just right, doing the opposite. So,
and tonight,
so
you,
you
went
have
to
critical things to say about the shows.
I'm very opinionated, but I always try. Like
you're just not sharing that opinion.
I went through music school, which is all about critiquing, so it's kind of like a director in my brain at all times. But I know like. When you have notes or whatever, it's not a reflection of that person. It's just mm-hmm. like these are things that could make it better and get to that next level.
Yeah.
And it's just my opinion. Okay. Maybe it's not right. Like there's
some of that can just be subjective. It's just yeah, what you feel like, where you would take it.
Exactly.
Or what would appeal more to your playset, mm-hmm, what you would mm-hmm. think would be the more appealing way to do a thing.
And, and there's definitely things I've seen that I've had opinion, and it's like, I don't like this at all, but I also can't argue with how the audience is reacting to this, right? So maybe they're
that's
right,
always my
I'm
big
wrong.
That's my always my big like stopgap is mm-hmm. like, do they have an audience, and is the audience eating up what they're delivering?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, then it seems like everyone did their job.
Then so I'm in the minority.
I don't agree with it artistically.
Right.
That's not their job, isn't to agree, to fit my level of art.
No. Mm-hmm.
There's
a
show. I may not recommend it. I may not go back.
Right. There's a show in town right now that has it's changed a few times over the course of time that it's been around, and everyone, pretty much to the person, says that the first version of this was the worst version of it. I could not disagree more. The first version of this show was far and away my favorite version of the show. And I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen several of the different versions.
You're talking about Chippendales, yes?
Chippendales, yes. I wasn't going to mention names, but yes. And
Jacob liked the original furry version right, of actual mascots of Chippendales.
It was Chippendale, the Rescue Rangers.
Mm-hmm. They would strip out of their chipmunk tuxedos mm-hmm. just down to naked chipmunks. There's actually no nudity at all.
They'd show their nuts.
They would show their nuts.
They're chipmunks.
By nuts, he meant acorns in their cheeks. They would right, open up. They'd be like, you want me to open up your nuts? And they would just widen their cheeks. Acorns would fall out of their mouths, and people would fucking make it rain.
Well, yeah.
People would just shower them with money.
The whole Rescue Rangers crew. So, like, halfway through, out comes a big fat guy. Like,
Monterey Jack?
Yeah, Monterey Jack off, as he's known in this Chippendales production. Yeah. Exactly.
Monterey Jack.
You remember Monterey Jack?
Barely.
Barely.
Yeah. Ooh, ask me. No.
Didn't remember.
He had a mustache.
Exactly.
And an
how
accent.
Do you not remember the guy with the mustache?
He was Australian.
Australian guy with the mustache. I remember that guy.
I watch that show every day, and I don't remember who you're talking about.
No.
That's what's bothering me. But the name was like, oh, yeah.
No, I definitely watch that show a lot.
The female mechanic.
Oh, yes.
Gears or something like that.
Oh, you're so close.
Lugnut. Not Lugnut, and then there's a little fly.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get the
I
other
can't
ones.
Remember the fly.
Was this on?
Gromit? No, I wasn't Gromit.
This was on Disney Afternoon. Yeah. There was a whole lineup I used to.
Yeah, there was DuckTales, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, Gummy Bears, and then other stuff. Yeah. Darkwing Duck at
Darkwing
one point.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck. Gargoyles was an offshoot of that eventually.
Marsupilami was one of them?
Apparently Darkwing Duck is coming
Marsupilami?
Back.
Marsupilami? Yeah, that was one. And
no, don't touch that cannon.
I never watched Bonkers.
I feel like I got us off track.
No.
No, we
no
must
you, didn't,
keep,
you didn't do that.
We must keep reminiscing my cartoons we can't remember. We must.
Oh, no, I was just saying that like, there's this show that I've seen several times.
Yes.
I disagree with everyone's opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always make sure to caveat it with, like, anytime I have that conversation,
mm-hmm.
I've never bought a single ticket to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making it for me.
Right.
So, and this version that you're doing now certainly seems to be more popular with the audience. So I suggest doing that. Mm-hmm. And not paying any attention to what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. It's tough to kind of gauge. It's almost like the people who sell out when they become bands, right? It's like, do you want to make a lot of money or do you want to be artistically fulfilling?
Right.
And if you can do both, that's best.
That's the people who do both we admire the most.
And by the way, they all have the same answer. And it's they want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you can make a lot of money doing an album that you don't like... And then you get to tour around and do shit that you do like.
That's true.
And you still get to make that money. Like, that's not a terrible life.
I have an art test for everybody.
Go.
Oh, where'd it go? I just had it pulled up.
Have us draw a turtle and a pirate?
Yep.
Were you going to name different...
That's my favorite art test.
Were you going to name three different sex searches and make us guess which one the Scoops put out?
I'm so mad I had this picture pull up and then my phone automatically went to the general mode when I pulled it back up. What the fuck?
He's that guy that wants us to invade Syria, right?
Mm-hmm. He's Trump's newest pick, general mode.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I'm going to change the subject while I look for this photo.
Yes.
The thing I'm looking for. Oh, no, I found it.
General
okay.
a la mode.
I'm going to read a quote, and then I'll give you guys a multiple choice as to who said it.
Oh, okay.
Okay? This is an art test. Artist test.
Okay.
An artist test.
So they're all artists. Okay.
Okay. I have to acknowledge that those people are what we consider super fans. They are the ones who are sometimes borderline obsessed. They're obsessed with me, which I find creepy and a bit weird. Sorry, but I have no interest in to do with anything with celebrity culture. I have a very normal life. Or I like to have a very normal life. Okay.
I know the answer, so I will
was
not answer.
It John Lennon, Bob Dylan, Mozart, or Tapeface? Who do you think said? I have to acknowledge... Those are people what we consider super fans. They're the ones that are sometimes borderline obsessed. They are a little obsessed with me, and I find it creepy and a bit weird. Sorry, I have no interest with this. I have no interest in anything to do with celebrity culture.
That was Beethoven.
Okay, I don't want to say until everyone guesses.
I had the completely wrong definition of artist. I was going to say Dali.
it was Warhol.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Guys, the answer is Tapeface.
What?
Yes.
Outrageous.
So
did he take his tape off his face to say this?
Yeah, well, yes.
Oh,
yes, because
he
this is actually
online.
It's his
yes,
real name.
Okay.
No, he just did the whole thing Kenny style.
Yeah, muffled.
Muffled. Mm-hmm. I'm not a celebrity, and I hate everything about a celebrity.
I read this, and I was like, oh, man, this reads really poorly.
That got printed in Cats.
In Cats
article.
Journal. Yeah.
No, because that is a quote from his interview
precisely.
That he did on podcasts.
So I said, I'm going to listen to the podcast.
Well, I had sent you a text.
Yes.
About the interview.
Yes, you did.
I don't have the exact wording of the text, but I believe it was something along the lines of, if you just want to get pissed off, you should listen to this interview.
I believe the subtext was simply, woof.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and man, it does not come off any better when you hear it.
No. Hearing it... I didn't realize it had gone in print.
Yeah.
I guess I did. Actually, Johnny told me that.
Yeah.
I had not read it. I only heard it. I only heard the recording of it.
What is the context of this?
Okay, so...
The context makes it much worse.
Mr. Oh. Face. Sam. Sam is his name? Wills is his last name. I know that.
Yeah. I believe it's Sam.
Yeah.
I know it's Sam. It's definitely Sam.
Has a double. He has someone who goes on for him.
I heard that there's like a blue man kind of thing, Gallagher 2, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. 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 By the end of the interview, you find out that he has a team of secret talent spies all over the world looking for people that share the qualities of the tape empire. That's what you learn.
He equates it to Blue Man Group. You're equating it to Gallagher.
Gallagher 2.
Really much more accurate.
Huh.
Gallagher 2 is hilarious.
Here's the problem.
Way funnier than his brother.
And
wasn't there Gallagher Mobile at one point?
Was there?
I think you could hang it above a baby's crib and it would help him sleep.
No, boy.
A full van.
Like a giant watermelon.
It's got to exist somewhere.
Did it look like a watermelon or what?
It's either that or his face.
Or a hammer.
Oh, yeah, it could be the... What was it called? The Smasher 3000?
I'm saying if this still exists, we should track this down. If no one owns it...
Is this something we could buy?
Yeah.
I believe it's called Monterey Jack.
So go ahead. What's it about?
Gallagher 2.
Well, okay. So in the interview, he says that he always wanted a tape empire of everyone being able to do different tape whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. And I don't even say this lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Like it took years of counseling, and even couples counseling to know this conclusion that I find myself telling myself all the time, which is you can either be right or you can get what you want, but rarely both.
Hmm.
Rarely both.
Yeah. So.
And this is what I'm getting at. And so if someone
this
is like
fits.
Like from like a couple standpoint, if someone's going to hang a picture and you go like, you know, there's a better way to do that. Right?
Right.
And you go, if you just do this, it's better. And if the person blows you off and then tries it their way and fails and realizes that you're right, that conversation is not a good conversation.
Right.
The conversation is like, fine, do it your fucking way. I'm leaving the room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, you were right.
You
but
won.
But no one cares.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you are correct.
You were right and you lost.
Yes, your logic is correct, but you're not going to get what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
And this guy cannot go to the court of public opinion. He cannot present evidence to the court of public opinion and deliver a verdict, and then we all have to listen to that verdict and enact it as law. Right?
You're right. Okay.
So he's spending, and this is what he's done. He's boxed himself in this corner where he ends up calling people who like him and just him playing tape faces.
Oh, no,
people.
You didn't set it up. You didn't tell him everything else. So he has these other tape faces that are doing this. People go see them. Mm-hmm. Thinking that they're going to see the guy who they saw on America's Got Talent,
right.
Realize that it's not him.
Gotcha,
and they
upset.
Get upset.
I see what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So go.
So when everybody brings this up on Twitter or any other thing else, he doesn't handle it nicely. He just talks to them with this cold logic, like, "Hey, dummy,
I'm trying to
expand.
There's
a tape empire, and it's been my plan forever."
Right. Mm-hmm. So what Matt just read a minute ago was his response to the interviewer saying, "What's with this? Like, a lot of people are getting upset about this. What's going on with that?" And that was his response.
Can we refer to all the other faces as Memorex?
It's fine with me.
As a type of tape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe just
either it's live or it's Memorex, right?
Tape so face and tape the gaffers. Face,
the gaffers.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking if he wants to do a tape empire, he just needs someone with tape over their ears.
Yeah.
I can come on and do my blindfold act with the tape over my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get the hear no evil.
Yes.
Speak no evil.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's not bad.
No, I mean, the thing is
and then you just get into some full on bondage. You have people tied up with tape.
Yeah.
Tape on all the orifices.
Yeah.
Every orifice is a different kind
of thing.
This
person can't project poop. Now. Yeah. I'm no longer part of that.
This is a great idea. This is a great idea that you just had.
I'll be tape butt. Yeah. I'll do it. I'll be the guy. I won't be tape wiener.
Because that's spoken for.
I believe you could go on the strip right now and perform with tape wiener, no problem.
I could go on Fremont and do it.
You can definitely go Fremont now and make the most money you've ever made in your life as tape wiener.
Of course, you have to kick off the other guy who's already doing tape wiener.
you have to fight
that guy to the death.
Unless you have an international team of scouts that are hiding in the shadows that don't even know they're looking for the next tape wiener, but they are.
Well, maybe.
Is
the problem that he's a recognizable face? Like, Like Barney, when you create Barney, is, you put on a hat or like a dinosaur head.
The problem is
and anyone could be in it.
The problem is you went on America's Fucking Got Talent as you. That's the problem.
Right. The problem is his posters say as seen on America's Got Talent, and then you walk in and it's not.
And let me be clear. Tough. Let me be clear. Like it's not about like I want to say like that. I understand this problem more than you'd think.
Yeah.
Because I tried
because
to perform.
Because when you put on glasses and shave your goatee and you do your Dittleman tribute act.
Yes. People go, you're not Eric Dittleman. And I go, oh.
It's a tribute.
It's a Dittleman Empire.
No. I mean.
This is just a tribute.
When I did Hillbill,
the
psychic Hillbilly, right? And when I did my initial show, I brought dancers on and whatever. Yep. And I did envision it as a possible trajectory to being like a strip type of show. And in that trajectory, the next steps I thought would be go to fringe festivals and try to grow it theatrically. And if I did...
But bringing your celebrity specifically to it. Or were you thinking about franchising it?
Not necessarily franchising it, but I thought of like, you know, going out. And so then Piff told me to open for him and I went on the road.
Right.
And I tried to stay as Hillbill the Mind Noodler. Hillbill, then Hillbill the Mind Noodler, and then whatever.
By the way, how much are those bumper stickers I got worth now that say Psychic Hillbill?
A fortune, at least a dollar.
I've got like 20 of those things.
And what happens is that people would come up to the show and be like, where in Appalachia are you from?
Right.
And I'd explain that I play a character.
Right.
And I'd watch their face fall. And just be so disinterested in everything else I was saying.
Because they love Appalachia. Because
they wanted me to be me.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, you know.
Or I'm sure you had people that were from Appalachia or had family from there or something like that. Or had visited there or something.
Honestly, even.
Like, they had some idea of a conversation they were going to have with you. And by saying that was a character, it completely derailed that conversation.
Yeah. Regardless of where they were from.
Right.
They just wanted me to be that guy.
They had a conversation queued up in their head.
Wait till they meet Larry the Cable Guy.
Right? Oh. But that's the choice. But I mean to say that, like, I had an idea in my head, and then I got a different opportunity.
Right.
I took that opportunity, and when I took that road, that choice then became a different choice.
Well, isn't that just listening to your audience and then adjusting, right? Because everyone
say it again, bud.
That's just listening to your audience and adjusting.
Oh, go.
Sorry, what was that?
I feel
like you're not listening. Listening to your audience and then adjusting.
No. Like say, like I was like, hey, I got a whole array of sodas. I got Coca-Cola. I got shit soda. I got diarrhea on bubble spray. And people go, you know what? Actually, I just like that one thing.
Right.
Eventually. You have to just start selling the one thing.
Right. Eventually, you stop taking the suitcases of the other things with you.
And the thing is, like, I understand that he had that idea to go on stage and to be able to franchise this, to do what Blue Man did, to do all that stuff. But eventually, let me read the quote again. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace the word fan with bill payer.
Great.
Okay? I have to acknowledge that those people are what we consider super bill payers.
Yes.
They are the ones that are sometimes borderline obsessed. They're obsessed with me, which I find creepy and a bit weird. Sorry, but I have no interest in doing anything with celebrity culture. I like to have a very normal life. It's like the people that that saw you, fell in love with you, booked hotel tickets for you, booked flights for you, flew across the country to see you perform, and then all of a sudden you're not there and someone else is there, and they're the assholes?
And they're the assholes for being upset. Like the reason that they're assholes is that they are upset that they didn't see you.
Yeah. And now,
that's, like, come on.
And this is the thing. And so, like, if that is the case, I believe there's still a path to success. I think there's still a path to finessing this.
Right.
But approaching them like they're idiots and then just presenting stone-cold logic like a know-it-all is trying to be right and not trying to get what you want.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So if he actually, I believe he still could have actually stepped in this mess that he has stepped in. And still got exactly what he wanted, but instead he chose to be right.
Mm.
And so he's being indignant and just explaining it, and then calling the people that whose hearts he's breaking obsessed.
Right.
Because I was about to speak for all of us. I'll speak for me though. Yeah. I think I'm speaking for all of us. I don't care at all if he franchises out. If he has 50 people dressed up as Tape Face doing shows, you know, in every state. Great. But you don't get to say, like, as seen on America's Got Talent at that point. You don't.
Yeah.
There are other things that you bypass at that point, and it's all in just how you advertise it. You don't advertise something that you're not producing.
Would you be okay with similar to America's Got Talent?
America has talent.
Similar to the guy on America's Got Talent.
Honestly, like he used to be called a boy with tape on his face.
As seen in America. Got talent? Question mark. That's mine. No, that's mine.
A scene in America.
No, money down.
Period.
Yeah, exactly. No, money down. Yes.
A scene in America. Period. Got talent? Parenthesis. Maybe.
Inquire within.
Inquire within.
Man eating chicken.
Looking for new franchise opportunities.
Cadre of shadow spies want to meet you.
Yeah. It is so strange. I do understand the conflict. I do understand having an idea.
Sure. Well, I mean,
and America's Got Talent hits many people like a ton of bricks.
Well, just even being a live performer, that has an end date on your performing capability as you get older, right?
Sure.
So you want to capitalize as much as possible. Like I understand where this is all coming from, and that's the tough part, right?
It is, and that's the thing. I agree. I don't think it's just stupid. I think it's just being handled incredibly incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. And I think that particular part of the reaction is stupid.
Yeah. Saying that people are like, oh, I thought I was going to see you. Like, you fucking idiot.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like Blue Man Group. Go home.
Right.
I'm not a celebrity.
And he keeps equating himself to Blue Man Group and to the gazillionaire in Absinthe, one of the characters in Absinthe.
Mm-hmm. And if the gazillionaire went on America's Got Talent.
Right.
As the gazillionaire.
Right.
As a comedian.
And then started touring.
Yeah. People would be pissed as shit if they showed up and did not see the gazillionaire.
Yeah.
I think going on America's Got Talent matters. It's not even like an example of something else. It is the most popular talent television show in America. You introduce yourself and they make sure to produce clips that make you look sympathetic. I'm looking at you as someone who's gone through this process.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, 10 to 30 million people take a look at you and who you are and what you're doing. That changes the fucking game. That's why people go on the show.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to change your trajectory. It's going to change the way you conduct your business.
And people he keeps dismissing this, but people keep saying, you know, it's not like Blue Man Group. It's more like if Piff went, you know, it's more like if you just went to Piff's show and it was some other guy in a dragon suit doing Piff's act.
People get mad if it might not be Mr. Piffles. And it is, by the way.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Piffles.
It is Mr. Piffles. But people get mad. They'd be like, by now it must be a different dog. Like,
no.
And they do it with like a don't you go easy on me.
Right.
You break it too many nights.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is Mr. Piffles okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, a shelf life, especially for dogs.
Exactly. Now we're really talking shelf life.
That's going to be much shorter.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, chihuahuas are fairly long-lived.
And I know no acts that have dogs, but they actually, if they're part of the act, they'll introduce the new dog, and you kind of learn as it's training as the replacement, and you get attached to it.
Yeah.
That's the smart way to do it.
Yeah.
We have to get into the next part here, but before we do, I want to mention this next person who also introduces dogs and trains them, and that's the following sponsor.
Hello.
Hello.
I am Jeffrey Dog Trainer.
Ba-bum.
And I train dogs and introduce them.
Yeah.
Here they are. What I've done is opened up Jeffrey Dog Trainer's Jeffrey Dog Training.
Okay.
Come on down. I'm offering specials. You can get 4 dogs for the price of 1 to be trained. What I would normally charge to train 1, I will train up to 4.
Yeah.
For 1, for the training. But they must all be at the same place at the same time.
Hold on. There's a lot of conditions. I didn't realize there's going to be so many conditions.
You can bring up to 4 dogs.
Okay.
I will train all 4 of them.
Okay.
For the price that I would normally charge for training 1 dog.
Oh, that's a good
deal.
But
they all have to be in the same place at the same time.
What do you mean by same place?
I work in an interdimensional kennel, and all the dogs that I train are conjoined through parallel dimensions.
Oh, so you mean like the same place?
The kennel is but one small room, and all of the dogs that I own, thousands upon thousands, live in one small 8x4 room.
That seems too crowded.
Not for interdimensional dogs.
Interdimensional?
They all live on top of each other in different strata of time-space.
Oh, you train them to, like, not do tricks, but to live in different spaces and times?
Precisely, precisely.
Oh, that's a whole different dog training.
That's how I make my money.
Here's my 4 dogs.
Your 4 dogs are all separate still.
Oh, shit.
They're all in this reality.
Okay. Here's my 1 dog.
Hmm.
I put the other 3 in the car.
Oh.
Oh, that's worse than different dimensions. Get them out of the car.
Oh, you're right.
That's
you're
terrible.
Right.
Get the dogs out of the car.
Man.
You know what?
This is why I wanted someone to train my dogs. I'm terrible at owning them.
I think you need the training, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to put me in another space time?
No.
Oh.
I only do that to dogs.
Okay.
I can't do it with people.
Okay.
I never learned that.
All right. Well, thanks.
Goodbye.
Enter Hayscoop's checkout.
Okay, great.
These sponsors are getting better and better.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Home run.
They're fantastic. I just was in Dittleman's backyard.
Yeah?
My literal backyard?
No, I was in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
You were just like looking through the window.
Creeping. Creeping.
I forget how much I love a Boston accent until I hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Or a New England accent, really.
Yeah, well, mostly Boston.
And mostly Boston. Yeah. It was at the airport, and I didn't get my TSA pre-check, and they were trying to help me out. And they're like, maybe you got to re-enter, go online, get your, go on to Delta and get your, check out, make sure all the numbers are correct. And I was like, can you just read, here's a phone book, just read. Please, I just want to hear you talk the whole
time. Love it.
It is really so charming.
Yeah.
I love a good
I don't have much of one, but when I drink, it'll come out.
It'll come out.
I'll lose my R's.
What are you, I was going to say, what are your trigger words?
Oh, water.
Water?
Water.
Water?
It becomes water. Yeah.
I think I've had too much drink. I need some water.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
And much like when we were in Pittsburgh, Patriot gear is formal attire.
Yeah.
You go out, you get out your Patriots gear
mm-hmm.
and your Red Sox gear, and you go out on the town.
You can do a lot with that number 12 on your chest.
Do you perform much back in Massachusetts?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm based in New York City, so
right.
I go where any gigs are.
Yeah.
So I have a car that I can drive up and see family and do gigs and... So yeah, it's fun to
you
get
went
up there.
You filled in with the Illusionist last winter, yes?
Yeah, one night on Broadway.
So you did Broadway?
Yeah,
is that an awesome. Exciting thing?
My opening and closing night of Broadway.
But it was planned to be an opening and closing night, right?
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah. Was it?
It was a one-night fill-in.
If it's not planned to be, then it's not fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Who else was on that bill?
Well, it was an incredible lineup. The Magic for the Holidays was Darcy Oak.
Mm.
Shin Lim was
kind
of headlined after just winning.
Yeah.
Colin Cloud, who's the Mentalist, and he brought me in to fill in for a day for him.
Nice. Okay.
Adam Trent acted kind of as the MC, and Chloe Crawford as well. And it was fantastic.
Really?
And it was a really, really fun show, especially since I kind of, the one like little gift souvenir I got was like a plaque of the playbill, which I am not on, which I loved. But it is a great little souvenir of that show and just having that.
Did your whole
I think
fam
it was a
leftover
out? One, but I still got it.
Did your whole fam come out?
Yeah, my mom and my brother came and saw and made the trip, and a bunch of friends were in the audience. And it was really
That's
fun.
That's pretty great.
Because
the theater's gigantic, right?
Yeah, it was the Marquee, and I think, I saw Penn and Teller do
it's one of the bigger,
their
the bigger Broadway
run there.
Yeah.
And it was fun because I was trying to, like, do some sneaky stuff and be incognito in the house, and I didn't realize they were going to put my picture as the substitute in the playbill.
Oh! You're doing your own pre-show?
So I just, I just bailed on that. Didn't do that. So.
Even more
that was kind of fun,
obvious because it's a whole.
They put your picture in. That's not always.
That
not
doesn't
always
usually
the case.
Happen.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
yeah.
by that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was fun.
Well, you don't hide that moneymaker, right, friend.
No.
I wouldn't put it out that your face on there either.
But then I
with that archer's glare. That archer's glare. You have.
When I have the dead eye and a bow in my hand.
Yeah.
Boom. But then my other favorite part was after the show and coming out of the stage door and all the people wanted the autographs, and I would just take my pen and sign directly over Colin's face and be like, this is the rare one. This one goes on eBay.
Right?
That's great.
But yeah, it was fantastic. And I also liked, it was Magic of the Holidays, and it was generally holiday themed, but there was nothing really necessarily specific geared towards Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
But when I came in, boy, did I make a lot of Hanukkah jokes for the Jews in the audience. All the Orthodox New York Broadway goers loved it.
I mean, Dittleman, you're not going to, like, you know.
No, I'm not hiding it.
No, no. Right now, they're like Dittleman, and like every Jewish person's like, come on, buddy. Do it for us.
Yes.
Do it for us. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
The one thing I regret was we didn't pack.
Was punching that woman in the face. The only thing I regret was just kicking someone right in the face.
I cut a 4-year-old in half with a dreidel. Went too far. That was my big closer.
Well, that's only if you land on the hay, which is you get half.
There it is. There it is.
And it was in half lengthwise, too.
Oh, I mean,
really weird.
Yeah.
We didn't get to run the bows, right? So that was the one thing messed up. I messed up the bows.
Oh, I see.
So it's just a timing thing. All I had to do was run it once, and I would have known the exact timing.
Yeah. Right.
And I've always learned doing theater when I was growing up, you go, we used to say, maybe this was just now thinking about a Massachusetts thing, but we used to say, for Boston. Is that really arrogant? or is that a real theater thing?
It would be arrogant if that was universal, I think.
It's definitely not universal.
Okay, yeah, great.
I did not grow up learning for Boston.
As far as like just timing-wise?
Just timing. Yeah.
I go down, I go up.
Yeah. It's like Mississippi, two Mississippi exactly. for the time of a second.
That's
okay.
The way I learned it. I guess it's just a Massachusetts thing.
I waft my fart, I breathe in my fart.
So I just didn't know the timing. So there was my
growing up in Boston. Did you count? Did you say Mississippi or did you say like Massachusetts?
We said Mississippi.
One Massachusetts, two Massachusetts. We just do not go outside of our state lines.
One Tom Brady, two Tom Brady, three Tom Brady. Yeah. Oh, it's so great! It'd be more Tom Brady. Excuse me, I have to go masturbate again. It's tearing up my arm though.
So there was just a moment that I think this photo exists. I can't find it right now, but I know I've seen it once.
Yeah.
It may have been deleted. My buddy was able to snap a photo of the bow, and it's literally four of the illusionists bent over and me looking over at them like, what the hell is happening?
What's happening? What's going on?
And then what happened after that is I was like, oh, it's bow time, so I'm bowing, and I come back, and they are not there. They've already walked up stage and light balance. The dance crew is on their way, and I definitely run into the first guy.
Oh, no.
So I'm just like, hey.
It's like,
this is part of my character.
It's like one of those performance nightmares.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, I'm stuck on stage. I can't get off. What's going on?
Broadway, baby.
Broadway. Always leave them wanting more, yeah. My friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the time I tell you I was really scheduled for a week, but after that.
That was it.
Right.
You fucked the bows. Get him
out
of here.
You bumped into light balance. What? You bumped a member of light balance.
They
that's it.
No longer balanced.
You knocked them off balance.
The light imbalance.
Eric, we love you. You killed. I want to keep you in the show, but you messed with light balance, and that is a deal breaker.
There's nothing I could do.
No.
My hands are tied.
My hands are tied. Hit the bricks. Good luck, kid.
No, but I loved the opportunity. I mean, just Colin having me, thinking of me and replacing that was fantastic. So,
yeah. That's really great. Yeah.
And you can see him now in Vegas.
Yeah, so he's doing the Shin Lim show, yeah?
Yeah. He and Shim together.
And so does he open for him? Well, how's it work?
He's kind of throughout. It's back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was excited to see Shin Lim. I was more excited. I was like, oh, Colin's doing the show. I want to see that.
And it's a good balance of, you know, Shin's sleight of hand and then Colin coming out and not using cards at all and just doing all the mentalism stuff.
Yes, exactly. And,
yeah.
That is a great balance. And they're over there at Terry Fader's Theater?
Mm-hmm, at the Mirage. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to fill in over there as well?
I mean, if Colin,
is
you know,
Colin
needs
out?
Another...
It's like, are you going to go?
Maybe.
Do you think Shin Lim will walk you through the bows or do you think he... Or do you think he loves callbacks?
He's going to bring
He's going to hire a dancing just for to that fucking just to rail.
Jabberwockies
Diddleman.
Come in and slam into.
These people were not even in the show.
Just crush him.
Yeah. I'm actually ready to fill in for Shin, too, just in case. Yeah. A very heavy mentalism show.
Whereas Colin does mentalism, I do mentalism.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, speaking of the person you're here to see on the poster not being there.
Just, you and Colin just signing over his face on all the programs.
Yeah. We're like, no, we replace Shin with another Shin as seen on America's Got Talent.
Just get a black wig.
He's franchised now.
Just a black wig and you're in, dude. Done.
And be like, oh, I guess you guys are just the super fans. Just obsessed with Shin Lim. I'm over here working my ass off over here.
You know, it's interesting. I'll tell you who else looks exactly like Shin Lim if you put a black wig on them.
Oh, no.
It's the following sponsor.
No. Hi, I'm Ted.
I'm still that guy who does dogs.
This is supposed to be a different commercial. How'd you get in here?
I got in here.
Oh, no.
This is the different dimension.
A different dimension.
Rover, yes. Sick him. Wait, my dog's not here. Where is he?
Who knows?
Oh, did you put my dog in another space-time?
Sure did.
Oh.
Oh, no. Let's talk about your thing that you sell.
Okay.
Your gravy.
I sell gravy.
So, dogs like gravy.
Yeah.
That's not why I'm here, though.
It's called Jiminy Giblets.
I'm here to ask you to please stop making Jiminy Giblets.
What?
Your gravy causes a great disruption in the time-space continuum.
No.
Yes.
I started off selling at farmer's markets. I was a modest enterprise.
It grows from a mom-and-pop thing. Yeah. You will soon become one of the four largest corporations on the planet.
Jiminy Giblets, will I?
Yes, you will. And Jiminy Giblets, while good...
Thank you.
And based in a... nice place, you know, your intentions are
right.
Oh, you
dip shit and it tastes better with dipped in my Jiminy Giblets.
Even shit tastes better.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Eventually, the world's population grows to such exponential numbers that only shit is what we have to eat.
But they dip it in my gravy?
They dip it in Jiminy Giblets.
Oh, no, I'm not stopping.
No, but then it becomes a point where the shit is so much basically Jiminy Giblets dip... It's you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yes.
Is he ever just shitting gravy?
Yeah, and then the entire planet becomes sort of a human centipede of Jiminy Giblets shit gravy eating.
Brings a whole different meaning to supply and demand. I demand that everyone becomes my supply.
Yes.
Jiminy Giblets.
Yes.
It must be done.
Oh, you blow darted him.
I just enter his.
Oh, there he goes. I'm off to another dimension filled with dogs.
Inner High Scoop checkout.
Safe from the giblets gravy disaster.
You do your monthly show in New York.
Yeah,
right?
That's my show. Excuse me. Amazeballs.
Amazeballs.
Yeah.
And that happens in Brooklyn?
Queens. Long Island City.
Wrong borough.
Right.
All right. And when is that?
It's now the first Wednesday of every month. And this is my experimental show where you just try out brand new material.
You and a lot of people in all over.
Yeah, I book other, you know, magic acts, variety acts, and we always feature a stand-up every month as well. And it's more going for like an R-rated feel. It's not like a family show.
Okay.
You can curse. You can try weird stuff.
Late night?
Late night. It's a 10 o'clock.
Sounds off-brand for me.
Show. Yep. It's a free show, too, because we're like, hey, you get what you're paying
for. Please
so
come.
If something fucks up, you can, you know.
That sounds awesome.
Just oh, man. I'm
doing
this
to yourself, yeah.
Doing the, you know, the new hunk I'm working on in the show, which is the I do a shock-collared magic square.
Mm.
And then lately I've been doing this thing where I make the person doing it with me dress up like a nun. And then this guy... who came up in Keene, New Hampshire. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was funny to instead of taking the outfit back, which I used to do, I just gesture them back to their seat when the trick is over and they're still dressed like a nun and they hesitate and I go like, no, go ahead. And then I just sit and the audience applauds and audience members don't do so. They just go and sit down.
Right. Yeah.
And so I've done this a few times now and both times it just magically someone just brings me back the nun outfit.
Yeah,
sure.
Brings it back to
me. Always return the props that
out. And it's not even them. Like someone just comes up to me and says, hey, here's your nun outfit back in. Someone who works at the theater or whatever just has collected it for me.
Yeah.
Right. And I just thank the Lord.
Yeah. And you have not told them to collect it. They just do.
No, they just do.
Yeah.
So I get we're done with the show. We're doing the big photo line and it's piff. So these are for like 1,000 people and the photo line's forever. Like
and it's actually piff, not just some other guy in a dragon suit.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. For you fucking weirdos who want to see actual piff.
Yeah.
Like a half hour into the photo line, I look and the guy, Eric was his name, was still wearing the nun outfit. He'd worn
he
it
really
the whole
liked
show.
It.
I'm the opening act, so piff does like another hour and a half. This guy wore a nun outfit the entire time and then stayed in the photo line in the nun outfit.
Was he close to the front of the theater? Like, was piff just looking at a guy dressed as a nun the entire show?
No, we both missed him. Oh, no, he was near the front because that's how I select them. Yeah, yeah. So, no, he was near the front, but so Piff must have. I didn't talk to him about it.
Okay.
But we just were both laughing that he kept it on the whole time.
I think at that point he owns that. Like, you didn't get back, right?
I honestly
you let him
like,
keep it?
I gave him some chips and some mind noodler magnets, and I go, if you want to give me the outfit back. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, I kind of shouldn't have asked, right?
Right.
You just said it, so you just confirmed my thought. It didn't sound weird. I just thought, of course he's going to give it back. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
It's like a fucking $15 reorder off of Amazon. Who cares? It's definitely worth the joke. I'm going to walk out.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah. But he said it like, he wasn't butthurt or anything.
Yeah. Right.
But just like, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you need to order several of those and travel with, you know, a few of them at a time.
Yeah. He gave me the look of like, oh, sure. Like, aww. He was like, yeah, it was more like, yeah, I want to commit it to the bit, but sure. Yeah. You can have it back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess you're not a comedian. Oh, sure. You can have it back.
I would have worn this all night.
I thought you knew more about comedy than I did, but I guess not. Okay, here's your outfit back.
To spice up the bedroom.
Yeah. Right. His wife was like, no,
bring that back. My fantasy fulfilled.
No, please.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like Johnny Thompson's chop cup that you're just like, let it go.
No one's asking for that. Yeah. I bring it wherever I go. Yeah, no one asks.
Yeah.
I actually do it for Pip's private party.
Did you?
Yeah, I do it so I can work on it every day. Yeah. But yeah, so that was
the chicken trick replaced, right?
Yes, it is. It is the chicken trick replaced. And the chicken trick, we don't bring back because Paul is in it. I thought of a simpler way, but to add Paul back in, I thought it'd be funny if to add a scare element to it. So like if you say like, oh, you're worried that the chicken is dead. He's right there in that little cage. And I thought it'd be funny if the cage is in front of like a wall, but then like you come out over the top of the wall. And so they get the actual chicken back, but then a giant chicken's like,
I don't know if they'll believe Paul is the chicken because they came to see that specific chicken and just franchised a larger chicken.
How about
you know,
this?
Both
how
have about tape over their
beak.
If
beaks. I put a little bit of tape on my beak, I think I'm good. I think they won't recognize me. Well, that's close enough. I mean, that other chicken was kind of white, but this one's yellow like Big Bird. I guess it's fine. I mean, he did the same chickeny things. He pecked and squawked.
I gotta say, my text message got exactly the reaction that I thought it would.
He chickened around. He chickened. It's the same thing. It's a chicken's chicken, right? It all tastes the same.
Chicken's chicken.
Chicken's chicken.
That's a better defense.
It's true.
You should go chicken's chicken.
It's a lot better than I'm like Blue Man Group.
If every tweet was like, whatever, chicken's chicken.
Yeah.
I'd have a lot more respect for what's going on.
Chicken's chicken.
Yeah. Hashtag chicken's chicken. Oh,
all right. Speaking of chicken, though, you tried the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, I didn't. I did the classic. I respect the... I respect the company that does not close on Sundays and hate gays. So I was like, and I like that they're talking shit. I like that they specifically relaunched it on a Sunday.
I didn't know any of this. That's
they
great.
Relaunched on a Sunday just to talk shit to Chick-fil-A.
That's great.
So I was like, I'm going to support this Popeye's endeavor, and I got myself a chicken sandwich.
How was it?
It's fucking amazing. And I shouldn't have whatever.
I walked in, and Matt and Dittleman are both standing in the lobby, just standing there eating Popeyes.
The best part is on the drive-through speaker, it says there's a limit of 7 chicken sandwiches per person. Or was it 5 or 7?
Five.
But still, who's getting that many?
Like, it's back? Ridiculous. I'll take 1,000.
Yeah.
Give them to me.
I'm going to freeze them. I don't know when they're going to be gone again.
Welcome to Popeyes. What can I get you? You have your chicken sandwiches back? Yes, it is. All of them?
Well, you saw the videos.
All of them, please.
You saw the videos of people fighting the Popeyes people because there weren't chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
It's crazy. But the social media element of it is hilarious to me. The shit talking, whatever.
Right.
And it is funny because there is one right around the corner from the studio. And Sunday night when I drive here, there's never a line. And as soon as it was back, and we were third or fourth in the line on a late ass night.
Did you see any fighting?
No
any
fighting.
Any people fighting?
We almost fought because the person was taking forever in the front of us.
Yeah.
Just we fought each other. We almost fought each other waiting.
In the car too long.
Yeah, just couldn't get it.
Chicken. That's where these bruises really came from.
We should do some scoop mail.
We should, yeah.
Message for you, sir.
Oh, I did like manual labor today. I went out in my backyard with a chainsaw. On an extension pole, and started cutting up a giant cactus that's in my backyard. And when I say a giant cactus, I mean it's about 18 feet across by about 10 feet. It's huge, and then the whole thing's probably about 7 feet tall.
Man work.
Yeah. I got about a quarter of it done today in several hours. I just completely blew up my back doing it.
I bet.
It was just in pain.
That's hard work.
And lots of just little, like, cactus pricks.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But I hear you.
Got to get it out.
No, thanks.
Getting it out.
Get it out.
We got one of them big scoop all chocolate. First, let me say, hey, fuckers.
Okay.
I'm happy to finally be an official scoop. It is crazy fun listening to old shows as I am determined to get caught up before the end of 2020. I'm also listening to the current shows to make sure you don't get ahead of me. The time capsule aspect.
Well, I have to pee real quick. You keep reading. I'm going to have someone I've selected.
Good.
Sit in my chair and fill in for me as I go to the bathroom.
Good.
Chicken's chicken.
The time capsule aspects of the podcast is one of the best parts. News events, the creation of Alibi, which I am still happy to be a part of, the different shows and guests, etc. While listening to the show, I began to search my memories to see if I had my own version of an Italian air show. I wanted to be sure that it held the criteria of a possible good thing that went bad and then got worse.
Yep.
Good news!
Oh, he's
in
got
a
one.
Sad sort of way. I found one. Flashback to 2011. I had been in Las Vegas for 2 years, found the improv scene, and became a regular part of it. While attending a night of set, we were treated to some visitors from Australia who had a show at the V Theater called the Aussie Improv Comedy Explosion. We've done this email before.
You did this one, yes.
Yeah. It wasn't until I got to that
restart,
that I was like, oh, shit.
Restart. New one.
Yeah.
Yes, that was an Italian air show.
Sure was. Agreed.
All right.
We've got one here from Twisted Scoop.
Here we go.
Boulder DEA decided to prosecute college kids.
I was like, what did I miss?
Partaking in a nude run in Boulder as sex offenders if they did not take the plea deal that they were offering.
Oh, man. What was the plea deal?
Run again.
Not being on a sex offender list?
Run in my mouth. Run in place in my mouth.
Yeah.
So that there's streaking gets you on the sex offender list, and it's really because we don't, and that, like, there should be
levels to sex offender list.
Yes.
Time for tape wiener.
Because, like, I don't, if you got caught streaking once with your friends, I don't care about my kids trick-or-treating at your house. That's fine.
Right.
They should just advertise it over the door.
But if you try
it's only streaking.
Only streaking.
But then everyone else who's on the list is also going to do that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, some filthy motherfucker's like, oh, is only streaking working nowadays?
Well, that's the thing. He's only streaking. Only streaking. Nude backyard festival. That's all it was. Just me and some dudes. Nude.
I think this is a result of kind of the Puritanism of the U.S.
For sure.
Because this is just nudity equals sex.
Yeah.
And I'm actually surprised because Boulder kind of prides itself on being kind of hip. So I'm surprised this actually happened in Boulder.
And it's named for a euphemism for a woman's part of a body.
There you go.
Right, her boulder.
Her boulder.
Her over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
That old gag.
Yeah, yeah.
2019.
I like that to this day, when Dittleman hears the word boulder, he thinks of a tit. That's what I like.
I was genuinely sitting here going like, what part of the body is
what
that?
Do you mean, what part of the body? That's the old Bette Midler guy.
And I was just in Plymouth, where Plymouth Rock is, where you notice Plymouth tit.
We didn't lactate on Plymouth Boulder. Plymouth Boulder lactated on us.
We got one here from Creamer Jean.
Hello,
hey, guys.
Creamer Jean.
I was once the stranger picking up a young child at preschool.
Oh.
My friend needed help getting her son picked up from preschool and brought to daycare, and I was happy to help. Her instructions were pretty straightforward.
Like, I was once the stranger picking up a kid at daycare. I stole a child.
Yeah.
Fuck you in the face, Creamer Jean.
I was once the stranger
I raised him since then.
Now I'm a mom. Oh, how times change. No, what happened?
My friend needed help. Her instructions were pretty straightforward. You just have to show your ID at the desk. His backpack is the green one in the cubby outside the door. There's a packet of M&Ms in the pocket. Just give him candy, and he'll go with you.
That's all the rules.
She's trained the kid to go with the kid for. Oh boy, it's this Pavlovian child.
This is like anti-vaxxers. Someone's doing like a giant fuck you to like whatever big child safety.
Yeah.
Candy in the van.
I'll train my kid to respond to any candy,
any van.
Anytime you can get candy, you go for it, kid. Don't let anybody tell you different.
That's how I live my life. That's how my kids are going to live their lives.
Get that candy.
My mama told me, any candy, any van.
I know it's terrifying, right? Fucking you in the face with dangerous half-ass parenting that Screamer Jean.
All right, it is terrifying, but yeah, it works.
I guess the kid went with her.
I guess that's, yep.
Oh, we got one here from Anonymous. Matt.
Who's it from?
Anonymous.
Okay.
Anonymous.
The Punanimous.
The Punanimous.
The Punanimous.
Oh my God, it's been a while.
Oh, give me that tail.
Oh, Punanimous.
Hello.
Matt may not get much love on Who Scoops, but he sure did in my dream. I had a really nice, sexy dream about sweet Maddie's D.
Whoa!
I think we know who Anonymous is now.
Matt. Me, right again.
Yeah.
Trying to fucking up my stock around here.
Matt was testing his email.
Getting too much flack for my bad camera angle on Twitch. I had to write in and boost my self-esteem.
That's it.
Oh. Go ahead, what else did I say, Jacob?
Boy, was it big. Yep. Oh, we got one here from Evil Monkey.
Oh, that's the whole thing?
That's it.
Oh, man, I wanted to find out how I did.
Yeah.
Apparently well enough to get an email, but not well enough to reveal their name.
I'm so embarrassed. I had a section about this hideous motherfucker that I had to write in.
But I can't
because if I told my boyfriend or girlfriend, they would throw me out of the house for having such a demented mind.
We got one from Evil Monkey. In a recent episode, Ed was concerned about someone thinking that he was mocking a disabled person with his limp leg, not to be confused with milk leg. Well, I have a story in the same realm. I was
This was the nurse who got dead leg.
Right.
And all the nurses were laughing because someone who actually was disabled just walked by.
And they thought he was making fun, but he was just walking on a leg that was asleep.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. I was at a Thanksgiving weekend with my girlfriend at the time. Her family from out of town were there along with her cousin John, who has Down syndrome. John is an awesome guy, and we had many fun times together, including that first night for Thanksgiving dinner. While eating with a group of 20-ish of her family members, John randomly shouts across the table to me, "Hey, Brad, has anyone ever told you that you look like Brad Pitt?" I was sitting there confused. I thought for a second and said, no, I don't think so. John immediately shouted, "Good!" We all burst out laughing while he sat there with a shit-eating grin that just said, "Gotcha."
That's pretty funny.
Just another reminder that we are all created equal, and sometimes this world can be a beautiful place. Fucking me in the face with Brad Pitt's beautiful dick. That's Evil Monkey.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good one, John.
Good one, John.
Has anyone ever told you to look at Brad Pitt? No. Good.
Otherwise, they were lying. They lied.
Because they would have been wrong. It's time to do a little Jock versus Nerd.
When was the last time you had a sex dream, Paul?
Well, he typed it in.
Yeah.
It was anonymous.
Jacob, what's the date of that email?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No. You know, you all know about it wasn't a sex dream. It was a comfort husband dream.
Yes.
Don Cheadle was
Don Cheadle was your
cousin. Oh, yeah.
And he was just telling me everything was going to be okay.
Which is just wonderful.
It was great.
Oh.
I follow him on Twitter and he never disappoints. He's great.
Oh, that's good.
It a specific Don Cheadle character?
It was Don Cheadle. Himself? The performer.
Not like
the man.
House of Lies or Rhodey.
Not even. Nope. It wasn't
Hotel
any.
Hotel Rwanda.
Nope. I mean, if anything, for me.
Specifically from Hotel Rwanda.
It would have been.
Nothing's more comforting than Don Cheadle from Hotel Rwanda.
It would have been Rhodey. You know, it would have been War Machine. If anything.
Oh, that's definitely Paul's dream. Is definitely his War Machine.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't War Machine Don Cheadle. It was just Don Cheadle. Wasn't even faux Captain
one
Planet.
Of his,
Don
one
Cheadle.
Of his four Showtime shows that all seem the same to me. Don Cheadle. Yeah.
Hotel Rwanda. Don Cheadle. No,
I definitely had a sex dream the other week about a coworker.
Oh,
and then got to work the next night and saw the coworker and had that moment of like embarrassment and awkwardness.
Sure,
just on my end.
So you told her.
Obviously.
Dun, dun, dun.
You seem like the kind of person who would tell them.
Absolutely not. Here's the thing. if I had a sex dream about a friend, if I had a sex dream about someone here, if I had a sex dream about anything else other than a coworker,
yes,
I would tell them.
Sure.
Yeah.
At work, I was just having this conversation with a female coworker of mine last night.
Mm-hmm.
That at work, I try very hard to like make sure that none of my female coworkers even for a moment think that I think sexually about them.
Ah. I had a sex dream about a coworker, Mr. Piffles.
Yeah.
I understand that. Guy oozes sex.
Yeah, yeah. Only does doggy style.
Just straight up. There's another dog on the flight out.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog was being like a little like squirrely, like make a lot of world. Straight up, Mr. Piffles like looked up and like judged the dog quietly, and then put his head back down and pissed loud.
Hilarious!
Like he literally looked up like, "Fucking, this is how you ride on an airplane."
Piffles,
like, oh, you fucking amateur.
Exactly. It was be a pro.
It was awesome.
Get it together, dog.
So hard.
Yeah,
get it together, idiot.
I was like Piffles cast shade on the fucking Delta flight.
Yeah, that dog is. Chill motherfucker.
Monster. Ninja, my old dog, used to do that. He would judge other dogs. He would just give them just like, scathing looks.
Fine, buddy.
Yeah.
Everything is okay.
Yeah.
All these humans take care of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what do we got?
Oh, we got a Scooperty from Missoula.
Oh, wow. This could be a good one.
And the categories are.
Diddleman, do you want to play?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely on the nerd side.
Great.
Of course.
Well, you're on my team, then.
Okay.
The categories are Animal Facts, The Boss, The Saints, and Sports Balls.
Okay.
You gave each of us one and then threw in Sports Balls. Matt, you're up first.
I will take Sports Balls for 400.
Let's see here. The question is, the major governing body for this sport requires the ball to be inflated between 12.5 and 13.5 pounds, forming a prolate spheroid between 11 and 11.25 inches in length and weighing between 14 and 15 ounces.
This is definitely not a Massachusetts person who wrote this.
No.
No.
That is a football.
That sounds like a football to me.
And not, that is a deflate thrilled, gate joke.
Not thrilled about that.
You know, last time I went to the doctor, he said I had a prolate spheroid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was between 14 and 15 ounces?
No way. Not even close.
Oh, so it was a Brady style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely deflated.
Gentlemen, what do you want?
Animal facts.
Animal facts for 400. Animal made his Muppets debut in the Muppet Show Sex and Violence, which first aired this year.
Ooh.
Animal made his Muppets debut in the Muppet Show Sex and Violence, which first aired in this year. I just saw today a YouTube video that was Animal and the Muppets band performing Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem?
Wow. Like somebody just overlaid Closer to them.
I didn't actually do it. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me then.
Mm. Yeah. It was like Rolf at the piano singing it and everything, and the dog singing it there at the piano.
Oh, so it's all the Muppets. It's not just Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah, yeah. It was Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem plus some friends.
Plus friends.
Yeah.
I am upset I don't know this because I actually donated to the Henson exhibit at the Museum of the Moving Image in New York.
Oh, wow.
And I sponsored Statler. So my name's on the plaque.
I was going to say, did you get anything from that? Did you get any kind of little...
I got to go to the opening night gala, and I noticed throughout the spread, all the cheese and crackers they had little figurines of Muppets on them, and I noticed they started disappearing throughout the rest of the night. So I was like, people are taking these. I need to grab one. And I just grabbed one out of the cheese, not thinking its feet are covered in cheese, as I put it into my fancy suit coat jacket pocket. And I had to explain that to my dry cleaner later.
You know what? A little cheese in the pocket.
Who hasn't been there?
That is,
right?
That is the least of that dry cleaner's concerns.
I'll tell you, that bow story is making more and more sense.
It's Muppet cheese. Munster? Muppet. Munster?
Muppet.
Well, no. Who'd you get?
Maybe.
Who'd you get?
Fozzie, I think.
A Fozzie.
Yeah, a good Fozzie.
Nice, nice, nice.
Should I make a guess? Just a guess?
Yeah, you can guess or we can pass.
Well, we got what's Muppet Show? What Muppet Show was probably what? 78?
I was going to guess 79.
Yeah.
That's a guess
solid
79.
Guess. That's a solid guess.
Let's try 79. 75.
Oh, really? That?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Muppet Show was definitely earlier, not early 70s, I don't think, but like early to mid 70s.
75 is pretty early.
Yeah.
It's in the middle.
I'd say 70. I don't know if we need to describe the accuracy of 1975. I think it's a very accurate description of when it happened.
Okay.
Paul, specific
date. You're like, that's like in the 70s. It is.
Mid-70s.
Mid to early? Sure. I think we all kind of know when 1975 is.
Anytime I can get some licks in on numbers, I'll try.
Can't stop me.
Fuck numbers.
Kicking and licking numbers.
Kicking and licking. I'll do Animal Facts for 800. Who the fuck knows?
Let's see. In his TV debut, Animal was the drummer for what band?
Now, I want to say it's Electric Mayhem, but I don't know that. I'm going to go with Electric Mayhem.
All right, let's see. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Okay, I was right.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's the only band that's on there.
That was a harder question than the lower point.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I mean, like,
yeah, the four other questions was definitely more difficult.
Firing bullets over there. Yeah. Dittleman's firing bullets.
Dottley.
I'll take sports ball for 800.
The major governing body for this sport specifies that the ball has a diameter between 2.75 and 2.7 inches, a mass between 1.98 to 2.10 ounces, and can only be made in optic yellow or white.
What are my balls?
Hey-o.
These nuts. These nuts is a sport. I'm going to guess a golf ball?
Absolutely not.
Tennis.
Ball.
Tennis.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's white tennis balls?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Golf ball is much smaller than 2.7 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to remeasure my penis, then.
Shit. Gentlemen.
Piffle's going to be so mad.
Let's go Animal Facts.
For 1,200. Daily Double.
Oh, man.
You're wagering it all, Eric.
For 1,200.
Yeah, absolutely.
This famous puppeteer was the performer that puppeted Animal from his creation until 2001. And we can't pass on this one, no. So we gotta just knock it.
And it's not Kevin Clash.
No. It could be. No.
Man.
I mean, my first guess is Frank Oz.
Right. That's kind of what
right?
I think.
I'll go with it. It is Yay! Frank Oz.
Nice one. Woman.
That's as good a guess as I've got.
Yeah.
And it was correct. Paul, your turn.
I'll clear out Animal Facts for 2,000, please.
Name both of the comedians that voiced Animal during the Muppet Babies TV run, 1984 to 1991.
One was Howie Mandel.
That's
okay.
The one I knew, yeah.
And fuck, who's the... Oh, you know what? I bet the other one was Dave Coulier.
All right.
Because that's the kind of bullshit jobs he gets.
Yeah.
Holy Coulier. Shit.
Wow. Yeah.
I always hate when Coulier is the guy that comes in after the show's a hit, and replaces somebody who they don't want to pay anymore. He came in for Lorenzo Music.
Dave Coulier comes in and goes, you don't want to pay somebody? I'm your man.
Seriously, he came in for Lorenzo Music on the tail end of Real Ghostbusters, and it was never the same. It's,
just imagine how good the original Full House was then.
Right? You know what? All due respect, I loved that show, Dave Coulier's show. What was that called?
Full House.
No.
No, he did America's Funniest People.
No. No. The Nickelodeon show he did. Ooh. Way back. Out of Control. No. Yes. Out of Control.
Correct.
Does he get points?
True.
800 points.
Paul did like that.
I love
Matt,
that
your
show.
Turn.
I'll take sports balls for 1,200.
Became less funny.
Fine. The major governing body of this sport specifies that the ball consists of 32 panels, 20 hexagons, and 12 pentagons, held together with 720 stitches and weighs between 0.925 and 0.981 pounds.
Bocce ball. I'm kidding. Soccer.
It is soccer.
Nice.
I didn't realize there's so many pentagons.
Or football, as some people call it.
Football.
Football.
Where are we going?
Well, since sports balls doesn't seem to be about sports and more about geometry,
it's definitely about the actual
finish
balls.
It out, sports ball.
The major governing body for this sport specifies that the balls must be spherical. They may not exceed 1.620 ounces and must have a minimum diameter of 1.680 inches.
I feel like that's golf. It's a golf ball.
That sounds golfish.
Small. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller than a tennis ball.
Yeah. And not as big as a baseball.
A little over an inch and a half.
And about
Unless
that heavy.
Oh, it could be ping pong.
Well, guess.
No. 1.6 ounces, I think, is heavier than a ping pong ball.
I'm really good at tagging myself out of answers, though.
Yeah.
No, I'll go golf.
I think golf. Golf is correct.
Congratulations. Always go with that first gut.
But 1.62 ounces is too that's too heavy for a ping pong ball.
Never go with your second gut.
How many dimples are
there? I like to play a really heavy game of ping pong. You don't know what I do. I use a steel ball bearing.
It sounds like you should just use a golf ball.
For ping pong?
Yeah.
You basically just shoot a gun at who you're playing.
And they just get a paddle and have to try and block.
I win every time.
My serve.
Paul, your turn.
The boss for 400.
This show introduced us to Tony, Angela, Samantha, Jonathan, and Mona.
Who's the boss? Angela, Samantha, the boss. Jonathan, Mona.
Matt, you're up.
I'll take the boss for 800.
Who's the boss debuted this year? Does that mean the other category is just about Catholic saints?
Probably.
It's got to be.
I want to say the early 80s.
It is.
I don't know the exact year, though.
I'm sorry, we need an exact year.
Okay, you know, the early ones. No, I want to guess 82, but I'm going to pass.
Oh, passing to Dittleman.
See, Paul, you answered the one question I would get on who's the boss is the name of the show.
The name of the show. I'll be honest, when that was it, I was like, wait, was the name of the show Who's the Boss? Was there a different name of that show? Did we just call it Who's the Boss?
Did we decide was the boss
was
on
it
that
hold
show?
Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza?
I mean, the boss was definitely Angela.
Yeah?
No, it was Mona.
Angela was the boss.
We know it
fight,
wasn't.
Fight, fight,
it definitely wasn't Tony.
No, Tony, Danza. Tony was not the boss.
Who's the bitch?
I'm going to pass.
Paul! You got this, Paul. You got this. We've already narrowed it to early 80s. So it could be 1981.
Which is more than 75.
1980. 1982.
How many points is this one for?
1983. I don't know. 1984.
84.
It's 800.
1984!
Do, 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 do! Bang, bang, bang. Mattingly's on fire.
I am killing it tonight.
Gentlemen, our turn.
Let's try Saints for four.
Let's try it. This 1999 movie follows the McManus brothers as they become vigilantes against the Russian mob.
I believe that's Boondock Saints.
That's absolutely Boondock Saints.
Ooh.
Yeah, got it.
Oh, good. I like this scooper a lot. I'm losing and I like it.
Yeah.
Midzula's coming through with a quality scooper.
Paul, your turn.
Quality scooper.
I'm going to go with the boss for 1,200.
There were 196 episodes
Jesus
of Who's
Christ.
The Boss that aired. How many seasons did the show last?
One.
Just one epic season. It was on every day for half
I don't
a year.
Have that anymore.
Get out the calculator, Paul.
I need my calculator.
Is this on Netflix yet? I mean, come on. Are we
binging?
I don't
think so.
It's not. Otherwise, I think we'd already be doing Netflix and chill with it. We would
I think
it.
So, yeah.
We'd be adding that to our RSS feed. No problem.
Netflix and Boss. Where is my calculator?
I'm sorry, you have to guess.
I can't, I can't get to my calculator.
No, he doesn't, he can pass.
No, he has to
guess.
How
do I get to my calculator?
It's not a daily double. If you don't know how to get your own calculator, I'll tell you what, I can get your calculator right now.
I used to.
It's part of my act.
No, they'll just edit it out.
Oh, good!
Sting.
That was a good dig.
Sting. That was a sting. Nah, pass.
Matt.
That was a good dig. let's see. I'm going to do 196 divided by 24.
I'm wondering, is it 24 or is it 36?
I'm going to guess 8 seasons.
All right. It's either 8 or 5.
8 seasons.
Seasons.
Wow.
It was 8 seasons.
Yep.
No movie, though.
No movie.
No movie.
They just started rolling in a prequel, though.
Who was the boss?
Who's the boss, baby?
Who's the boss, baby?
Matt, your turn.
I'll take
it a comeback.
I'll take the Saints for 800.
Steer it away from the boss.
I was like, I'm definitely not gonna know the next who's the boss.
I bet I will. I knew that one if I just could find my calculator.
This medical drama ran on NBC for 6 seasons and followed the doctors at a rundown Boston hospital.
Boston.
Yeah.
What's not Bastion. ER You know, it
get,
is ER.
You don't get credit for that when you say it's not the answer.
I don't know, I was trying to think.
Know how this game works?
No,
I'm trying to think. You absolutely get credit for that.
No, wait. I think ER lasted longer than six seasons, didn't it?
I think so. I think ER was on for like 12
took over
seasons.
For a while.
You can Come on, pass it.
You can pass.
Pass it.
Why? You because to me. It so bad.
Oh, it does go
pass it so
because
hard.
To me. I'm from Boston.
It is on the screen who it goes to next. Yeah. And Paul doesn't know.
And I am Jacob.
Does L.A. Law count as a Boston hospital?
Yes. Yes, it does.
L.A. Law is a Boston hospital. Welcome to L.A. Law.
Hawaii 5-0.
The Boston Hospital, L.A. Law.
I'll pass.
This is St. Elsewhere.
There you forgot the category. Elsewhere.
It's a Saint category.
St. Elsewhere is correct.
Woo. Do you remember the finale?
You don't have to admonish me.
Yes, I do.
Do you remember
that's
the finale
wrong,
of this one?
Sir.
This was the snow globe, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of a snow globe. It was like a weird little... Yeah.
It all existed in
I
the
never
mind.
Saw the show in my life.
What is St. Hospital?
Wait, is this a Howie Mandel themed thing?
It is, apparently.
This whole
because Howie
quiz?
Mandel and his... and yeah, it was weird.
And I'm on this episode.
Yeah.
And I met him.
Everything
is on the road. And I met him.
So mad up.
And Mitsuo planned that?
It is.
I'm doing Saints. I'm
1,200 or 2,000? This is your last one that you get to pick.
Let's go 2,000.
Oh,
do
look
it.
At him.
Yeah. Go for it.
Daily double!
Oh, shit. No. This is it. This can win you the game.
For 4,000.
Am I going all in?
You have to.
Okay.
That is part of the
rules.
That's
the rule.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
House rules.
This saint is the patron saint of Las Vegas.
Oh, oh man.
Saint Bugsy.
I've definitely seen this in a gift shop here in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And I do not...
All right, who's the patron saint of lost things? Would it be that one?
Do you know this one? You're
no.
on my team.
No, I don't. I'm trying to talk through it.
I don't think it is that same one.
No, it's not St. Anthony.
Okay.
I want to say like a Benedict or something like that. Like something.
Show me a Benedict.
St. Benedict.
It'll be Saint if
Benedict.
It's St. Benedict Cumberbatch, do I still win?
Yes, absolutely. If you get part of the name right.
St. 299 Ed's Eggs Benedict.
I don't know. That's my best guess.
St. Shrimp Cocktail.
Yeah, I didn't know Las Vegas had a patron saint.
From the Jew, that's my best guess.
Benedict.
A Benedict. St. Paul the Apostle.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize St. Paul was the patron saint of Las Vegas.
Why does Las Vegas have a patron saint? That's bizarre to me. I guess so.
Marketing opportunity?
Paul, you're up.
I guess that's because I think the Catholic church out here that's on the strip is the Church of St. Paul, maybe? I don't know. Anyway.
Great.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll go with the Boss
for 2,000.
The Boss.
Daily double for no reason.
Another daily double. There were three backdoor pilots attempted during Who's the Boss run. Name one.
Alf.
Alf is a
Charmed Lives,
fuck.
Mona, Living Dolls.
Shit. Mona. I knew there was a Mona one, but I didn't know what it was called, but just Mona.
It was.
Boy, oh boy.
Matt closing out the category at the game. The Saints for 1,200.
Saint Elsewhere.
This 1985 movie stars all but two members of the Brat Pack.
I think it's just called The Saint, isn't it?
Maybe. That was, what's his name?
Oh, that's Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a remake, wasn't it?
No. Pass it to me.
Oh, you know it?
Yes.
Don't pass it to him.
Good strategy.
Wait, one guy's telling me to do one thing, and another guy's telling me to do another.
We're like the little angel and devil on your shoulder.
Is it Saint Nick?
There's even a patron saint of gamblers, and that saint is the patron saint of Las Vegas.
Saint Gambler.
Saint Caetano.
It is Saint Wheel, and you spin it to find out which saint is actually.
Yeah. This Saint Misbehaving.
Movie. Brat Pack. So let's say all but two members. I'm going to assume that means no Peter Lawford and no Joey Bishop, right? I'm assuming it's Frankie, Dino, and Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
Brat Pack.
Brat Pack.
Not Rat Pack.
Oh, then I definitely don't know what I'm talking about. Were those guys even still alive in 1985?
One or two of them.
I mean, yes.
Saint Almost Club. Fire.
Oh, you might be. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think you pulled it out
Saint
of the fire.
Saint Almost Fire is
nicely
it.
Nicely done.
And that is the game with that question out of his ass. Matt wins with 3,200.
Out of my asshole.
Paul comes in second with 2,000. If Matt had tape over his asshole at that moment, he would not have won the game.
That's right.
And Jacob loses with zero.
This is a poor showing compared to my cash cab episode.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would also.
Did you see our cash cabbage?
Ooh, here we have cash cabbage. I haven't seen.
Oh yeah, we have a cash cabbage.
Oh, yep. That's nice.
This is the official music for the cash cabbage.
That's St. Elmo's fire.
Yeah,
which is also great. The official music for the cash cabbage.
Oh, it should be.
We lost the tenor.
We'll just say on this. I want to thank Penn Jillette for this podcast.
Thanks, Penn.
We won't be able to use this podcast if we keep playing that. Get out of here.
Somebody asked me last night if we had ever gotten in any kind of trouble for any kind of copyright stuff that we had done on the podcast.
Abby, don't go sticking your heads on cows.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. And we were even in the right.
I want to thank Dustin Knauss and Cast Media.
Thanks.
Yes. Big thanks to Brad Leclerc, who is the patron saint of clerks.
I want to thank Aaron Trembleth, patron saint of patron saints.
Brad Everson, patron saint of women who stay forever pregnant.
Creamer Adam, patron saint of corn syrup and dust form.
Brandon Pugh, patron saint of odd smells.
Slightly Scooped, patron saint of stupidity.
Brendan Lounsbury, patron saint of lying down and being covered in dirt.
Rule Scooptania, patron saint of anchors.
Galusha Scoop, patron saint of galoshes.
Alex Reich, patron saint of remembering where you put your keys.
Brian Chambers, patron saint of fancy sex dungeons.
Alfonso Gerardo Garcia Diaz Barriga, patron saint of ghetto sex dungeons.
Brian Davis, patron saint of Garfield.
Amber King, patron saint of mosquitoes.
Scoop du jour, patron saint of the day.
Andrew Anderson, patron saint of Andrea Anderson, which is actually your name. Andrew's the next name. Andrea Anderson is who I'm thanking.
Brian Maddox, patron saint of angry doxers. Oh, stop it. Stop it. We're going to get in trouble. Stop. Stop.
St. Elmo is going to come for us.
So, also, that song and the whole thing, none of it really makes any sense to me. St. Elmo's fire is that.
The ship thing, right?
No. I think it is.
You guys have already know more about this than I do.
It's a weather phenomenon,
it's like
right?
A hologram you it see is. At the horizon on the water. Or something
Yeah. It's kind of like
Northern Lights ish.
Right, Northern Lights ish. What's that thing that they say?
You swamp, guys should go to a game show. Listen,
swamp
you guys go.
Gas. They talk like swamp gas. It's like people mistake it for the supernatural.
Right.
Yeah.
Andrew Hillhouse, patron saint of swamp ass.
Brian Richard, patron saint of dick.
Andrew House, patron saint of nut stink.
Brian Rosen, patron saint of bright red cheeks.
Andrew Johnson, patron saint of spank.
Brian Terrell, patron saint of the Terrell syndrome.
Frozen Cusser, patron saint of previously just chili cusser.
Brian Davis, also patron saint of Garfield.
Andrew Osachuk, I can't believe it, another patron saint of Garfield.
Other Brian Davis, who is a patron saint of Garfield, too.
Andrew Spencer, patron saint of Spencer Tracy.
Brian Gregston, patron saint of John Arbuckle.
Andy Cheever, patron saint of overachieving.
Brian K. Traves, patron saint of Odie.
Angela Chan, patron saint of channeling spirits.
Pralines and Dick, patron saint of Pookie.
Ant Foods, patron saint of tiny things.
Kitty Cone, patron saint of Nermal.
Anthony Knowlton, patron saint of even tinier things.
Cameron Hall, patron saint of long corridors.
Anton Jernberg, patron saint of long cords.
Cameron Kiddo, patron saint of children all around the world.
Andrew Trousty, patron saint of houses that children can't go to anymore.
Cameron Preby, patron saint of premature people.
Scoop Dreams, patron saint of Scoop Nightmares.
Carl Reimer, patron saint of Slimer.
Osti Spumoni, patron saint of the celebration growing.
Refrigerator Perry Scoop, He's not here to start no trouble. He's the patron saint of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
The scoop crone, patron saint of riding a bike.
Carolyn Albert, patron saint of Fat Albert.
Autumn Kowalshin, patron saint of riding a bike made of spaghetti.
Scoopaluga, patron saint of Scoopalookadoo.
Hey, Shaggy. Like, hey, Scoop Chang, the Beijing Bugle, patron saint of yikes.
Caesar Oliveris, patron saint of olives in your Caesar salad.
BJ Joyer, patron saint of the amusement park guy who was doing it the whole time.
Campbell's Tomato Scoop, patron saint of good.
Ben Kapal, patron saint of the munchies.
Charles Eaton, patron saint of actually munching on stuff.
Ben Gao, patron saint of watching people eat and masturbating.
A Scoop of Root Canal, patron saint of mouth pain.
Ben Roberts, patron saint of oral fixations.
The Micro Scoop, patron saint of Who Scoops Podcast, the number one podcast for our show.
Oh, God. Ben Sherman Scoop, patron saint of fuck you.
Scoop Bucky, patron saint of Bucky O'Hare.
Bill Reese, patron saint of who gives a shit?
Freehold Scoop, patron saint of holy freehold lace.
Scoopiter Ascending, patron saint of that weird new Springsteen film.
Chris Ellis, patron saint of drying paint.
Nola Scoop, patron saint of wet paint.
Chris Fisher, patron saint of people who fish.
Boba Scoop, patron saint of wet taint.
Gas Man Scoop, the toilet pipe saint.
Bobby Becerra, patron saint of curly hair.
Jacob! I don't have anybody to thank this week. It's the first week of the month, so I don't have any new people to thank. So I will just say, if you want to get thanked like this on the show, head over to preachingfund.com, and for as little as $2 a month, you can start getting stuff. And it's cool, and it helps us out. It really makes our lives, our doing this possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We deliver this to every week, always have. Always will, as long as we can figure out how to keep the support going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every one of you guys that we just mentioned there, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your continued support for us. It means the world.
And for the 700, almost 800 people that supported us this last month, we appreciate it so very much. It's unbelievable to have your support. If you happen to be watching us on Twitch, you can give us some of Jeff Bezos' money for nothing.
It's true.
Just by clicking. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you just click on the thing that gives us the Bezos money.
Our internet messed up tonight, so we cut Twitch early.
Yeah,
that's so sorry about that.
If you give us a little more, we won't.
Yeah, we won't have to cut it early.
Hopefully. Well, and the best way to do it, if you don't want to give us any money, or you can't, or you just whatever, if you want to participate in our obelisk scheme,
please do.
Yes, can help us out immensely by telling one
just
person,
one?
Just one person about the podcast.
Find that one person that you think has the same comedic taste that you have.
Someone you think will actually enjoy the show, and turn them onto it. And again, like I always say, if everybody listening right now participates in the obelisk scheme, we could literally double our listenership.
Think about it.
That's true. He does say that.
Wrap your head around that.
Huh? Math.
Yeah. Kicking that number in the dick.
Boom.
Ow!
And
of course, you can follow us on social media. Keep the conversation going all the time. We're at Hey Scoops all over the place.
Dittleman, where we find you?
You can visit my website,
yeah,
ericdittleman.com, and if you don't know how to spell it, I bought all the domains, so just try, and I'll get to me.
You'll figure it out.
Good job.
It.
But if you want to know it's spelled D-I-T-T-E-L-M-A-N.
E-L, not L-E.
Yeah.
E-L.
And T's, D-I-T-T-E-L. And you find all the social media at E. Dittleman, which is first initial, last name, or Electronic Dittleman.
Electronic Dittleman.
E-Dittleman.
I got like the email. Envelope. Electronic Dittleman. My prediction.
I do that.
I paid to see the real Dittleman, not the electronic Dittleman.
Chicken. Chicken's electronic chicken.
This one's got tape over his asshole.
This reminds me of that guy who duct taped his dick on Fremont Street.
Paul.
Oh, you mean Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. It's a living.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Electric Dittleman, Electric Dittleman.
I see a vision of a Santa Claus riding over a snowbank in an Electric Dittleman. come Christmas time. The perfect gift. The Electric Diddleman.
Wait, are you just describing a sex dream right now?
No, I'm just talking about an old razor commercial.
That's St. Elmo's Fire.
I know what that is. Stop it. Stop. We're getting in trouble. We got it. No, we're going to get banned.
I am St. Elmo, and you are in trouble.
Music hit. Copyright claim.
Oh, no. I used St. Elmo three times, and now he's here.
Oh, shit.
Tickle me here. Tickle me there.
Tickle me, St. Elmo.
Oh, boy. I'm so glad you called me.
That'd be so late for an episode title. It's really
good.
Can you
touch me in a special place? You want to?
Yes, Kevin Clash, I did.
You should do it. You're going to see a special light. I don't have a tape on my wiener.
Zap!